Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Going to get into a deep dive. If you saw the title, you know what it is. It's Kate Moss. And I think on Saturday, something special, hopefully. Finally found somebody who is really into The Bachelor and is a writer. And I actually did not know that she was writing about The Bachelor this season. And it just shows that even with friends, I don't usually read anything about The Bachelor. However, for the radio show tomorrow, they wanted to talk about The Bachelor. And since it's only 4 or 5 minutes, you know, figured I could swing that. And then saw that my friend had written a whole bunch of articles about the season. And I said, sent her out a little DM. And let's see if... can make something happen for Saturday. Friday, tomorrow, part two of the true crime thing started last week. And then Sunday, of course, the blind item reveal recap. So a pretty busy weekend. And anyway, I hope everybody's being safe. And, you know, I kind of feel as if that I will try not to skip any more days. I had a really, really busy work week. And when I have that, it's really tough because I have to talk all day in those kind of situations, and then it's just exhausting and draining. But at the same time, if they're staying inside, self-isolating, Yeah, I guess that's a word, right? So self-isolating, you know, somebody wants to listen to a podcast, then, you know, hopefully I can be there and, you know, make the hours go by a little bit faster. There's only so much Netflix you can watch. If you don't have Amazon, well, actually, it's on HBO. I just watch it through Amazon. If you, but McMillions, I need to watch the last episode, but that's a really good show to watch right now. And, you know, maybe we can have some kind of talking about shows to watch when people are stuck at home. Because I think there's going to be a lot of sticking around at home. I've talked about the grocery store situation in my local one, and you know it's always been the toilet paper, the hand sanitizer, the cleaning kind of stuff, and water, but it has expanded now. There's no dry goods really for the most part. No pastas, no rice, no beans, anything like that. Still a lot of produce. The frozen stuff, it's interesting what people want to purchase if they're going to be staying at home. And, you know, it's the Hot Pockets and things like that, but there's plenty of frozen vegetables and frozen fruit and things like that. The pizzas, short supply. And, you know, you also, I guess you got to think about how much you can put in your freezer. And boxes of stuff, whether you're getting chicken nuggets or something, they take up a lot more room than a bag of something. All right, let's talk about Kate. And normally, like, I would do the blinds and things, but I think because Kate Moss is somebody that's been around for such a long time, I kind of needed to go in order, kind of in her career. There's a lot of scandals. There's not going to be a lot of fluff. I have been fascinated with Kate Moss I was more so than not. But when she was with Pete Doherty, that was a time probably in the first year and a half or 2 years of the blog where it just felt like everything I was writing was Kate Moss and Pete Doherty. And the fact that she had a child and was still hanging out with Pete Doherty just kind of blew my mind. And I really, really didn't understand it at all. And, you know, it's about the drugs, but still at some point, you know, yes, he's in a band, but he's Pete Doherty, for goodness sake. But when she was... I mean, barely, I think it was about 25 years ago now, when she was in a departure line at JFK Airport, and there was this, it's kind of like out of the movies, there was this modeling agency, and it was the boss. And, you know, when that happens, you're going to get, you know, some work. And she kind of, you know, she did some teen magazine fashion shoots, and people weren't sure how she was going to fare because what you had was at that time, she was kind of crossing through from that Cindy Crawford, Christie Brinkley kind of thing, I like to compare it to this. And it's kind of weird. But in the late 80s, you had nothing but hair bands, right? Just in the Sunset Strip was filled with that kind of thing. Motley Crue, Poison, Guns N' Roses, whatever. And then you had grunge kind of make their way on. And that's kind of where Kate Moss is. She is the Nirvana taking over from all the hair bands. That's kind of how I think about it. But what happened was she got a break. And she got the Calvin Klein perfume commercial. And then the Vogue shoot in 1993. And not surprisingly, you know, it's the photographer who was kind of known for grunge, Corinne Day. And they made a huge splash because you had Kate essentially naked. And she was on the bed, and it was this apartment that didn't look all that great, but it was actually Kate's apartment at the time. And, you know, there's fairy lights going around and everything, and it was really controversial. It was really, really close to trying to look like pedophilia. And at the same time, you know, this heroin chic kind of thing, she looked like a junkie. She looked like she was on heroin. Which, of course, you know, later on when she gets with B. Doherty. But, you know, she is the one that founded this heroin chic kind of look. You know, super waif kind of thing. But to me, this was kind of because she looked so young. So very young. And so skinny. And she was so tiny. You know, they wanted her to look like a young girl. And that was kind of creepy. The other part that was kind of creepy was that, you know, teenage girls saw this and they said, oh, I want to look like her. Well, you know, she weighed 10 pounds. So she was accused of, you know, well, I don't even know why it's her fault. But, you know, she's the one who took the brunt for, you know, saying, oh, everybody needs to look, you know, anorexic. But I believe she's also the one that said at some point, let's see, what does it say? I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. I believe that's her line. If I'm wrong, say something in the comments. Oh, and by the way, when I say something in the comments, if you don't want to write a comment, just like if you like something. That's fine, too. Because, you know, taking the effort, some people don't like to leave comments. I get that. But everybody can click the like button if you like it. Because that kind of lets me know what everybody does. And the higher number of likes, then I go, okay, I need to do more like that. And just like, it's amazing to me. And, you know, when I use the analogy of the hair bands and the grunge, it's kind of true. Because she represented closing the door on that excessiveness of the 80s. And whether or not, you know, the Miami Vice and the cocaine and, you know, leading up to the hair bands, it was just so much. And then you get to K-Moss or grunge, and it's minimalistic, it's dirty, it's the farthest thing removed from any of that. And Calvin Klein said, so many women models would come to me where they've distorted their bodies by implants in their breasts, they changed their hips, changed their knees. I mean, you just cannot imagine what models were doing to themselves, what women have been doing to themselves. I think something changed dramatically in the 90s, and I was looking for someone who could represent something that's more natural. Because Cindy Crawford and Christy Brinkley, you know, they had this one kind of look, and then it was expanded, if you went to music videos or something, by exactly what Calvin Klein was talking about. And then you had Kate, who was small boned, flat chested, and it was, I think that some people saw it as an affront to the 80s all American type models of Cindy and Christy and all of those. It was just, maybe that's what was heard, is all of a sudden, no, well, we don't want these, you know, all American types. We want somebody who looks like Twiggy from the 1960s. So then, you know, you had this, you know, that, like I said, the promoting of the anorexia, the heroin use, comparing it to child pornography, and that this was the end of times. And it felt you know, it was definitely a shock. And I remember vaguely people kind of, you know, talking about that, and it was just disturbing. And I don't know, I was focused on other things at the time, but there certainly was a lot of blowback. Because she was on the sites of buses, she was on payphones, she was on, you know, anything that could have an ad. And, you know, she would be naked, draped across a velvet sofa, and what would be written on all of these is "feed me." And Kate says, "I was thin, but that's because I was doing shows, working really hard. You get to work in the morning, there's no food, nobody took you out for lunch when I started." She forgot to mention that she was doing a whole lot of coke. A whole lot of coke. And, you know, one of the things was, there's this ad campaign that came out. And this is where you kind of think, okay, maybe it's not so coincidental that the look was designed like this. Because what you had was, you had, for this ad campaign, Vincent Gallo. And he was the one who kind of pushed it. And if you don't remember the name Vincent Gallo, I've talked about him, I think, in an episode. But he filmed Brown Bunny. And that was the movie with Chloe Sevigny, where at the time they were going out, and it's essentially porn, because during a blowjob scene, he made her actually give him one. And during the sex scenes, they actually had sex. This is Vincent Gallo. Vincent Gallo is a horrible human being. I'm just going to say it right now. And I have talked about him. There's been blind items about him. Google him if you'd like. You're going to need to take a shower after. So when you think about him being in charge, or the creative kind of idea of these fashion shoots, it doesn't surprise me that he wanted her to look as young as possible. Now, the trend kind of faded, because there was this fashion photographer named David Sorrenti. And when he died, heroin chic kind of died along with it. There's no way that it was going to last forever. And I think that if you look at things now, it's kind of a combination. You have this heroin chic look, but then you have somebody, say, like Gisele Bündchen. And I think that what changed it all was when they did Victoria's Secret, and they didn't want the waifish heroin chic type. So it kind of made full circle. But then, of course, Victoria's Secret and Les Wexner, I mean, come on. That's horrible too. So that original Calvin Klein shoot was with Mark Wahlberg. And Kate was only 16 at the time. And Mark at that time was, well, he was a jerk. You know, I think that he seems to have tried to pretend none of that happened, where he almost killed somebody because they were Vietnamese. He beat them to a pulp and they almost died. If the person had died, we wouldn't be talking about Mark Wahlberg. You know, that was racism. And he beat somebody with an inch of his life because he was racist. And if you do that, do we think that he's changed? Do you think that he's still racist? And if you think about the movie that he made with Reese Witherspoon, which I can't think of the name of it offhand, how much she disliked being with him and how uncomfortable she was. It goes to figure that Kate was too. She said that she was extremely uncomfortable, and that she had a nervous breakdown, and that she was crying in the bathroom. And that's because she was having to shoot with Mark Wahlberg. And, you know, also, she had to be topless during it. And 16 years old. So think about that. She's 16 years old, they get her naked. And that's why you have this, you know, the child porn thing, because essentially, if they had used some of the photos other than the ones that they used where she was covering herself modestly, it would have been child porn. I am sure that Vincent Gallo has photos of her that he did not use, which would probably be considered child porn. Now, earlier in her career, she decided that she was going to get implants, but then she changed her mind because she started getting work. And then, you know, when she was filming all of this with Mark, this was when he was Marky Mark, right? You know, the funky bunch. And he spent a lot of time, she said, essentially just grabbing his crotch all the time. And Mark would look at the pages and cross out things he didn't think sounded like him. And Wahlberg also told Kate that she was nothing special and that he wasn't into the waif thing. And that he told her that she kind of looked like his nephew, you know. And then Kate said, after he says all these nasty things to me, I have to straddle him and make it look like I'm enjoying being there. The 16-year-old girl who's getting rubbed on by, you know, Mark Wahlberg, who doesn't even like her. And she said she couldn't get out of bed for 2 weeks after that. Now, like I said, she was doing coke, and she was to compensate for the high of the coke. She was also drinking heavily at 16. And she saw a doctor, and the doctor said, well, what you need is some Valium to go with your coke and booze habit. But thankfully, her boyfriend's mother, who she was staying with in New York, because all 16-year-olds need to be overseas with their boyfriend, the mother said, no, you can't take it. And, you know, thankful for that mother, because at that early age, where she probably hasn't, you know, had the tolerance, if you do Valium and booze and coke, Kate Moss would probably be dead. And that campaign, though, it saved Calvin Klein completely. You know, the house of Calvin Klein was in a lot of trouble then. She thought she was going to die, but Calvin Klein was, you know, had new life, essentially. And, you know, 16, traveling the world. There was one time at a John Galliano show at Paris, and she got so wasted on whiskey backstage that she passed out. And she missed school the next day. She said, that's what you do. You just kind of have champagne. You always have champagne before shows, always, even at 10 o'clock in the morning. It got to the point one time when we said, we're not going out without any champagne. And to make sure she always had a drink, she also carried her own personal flask on photo shoots and would tend to drink as much as possible while she was shooting. She said that she started drinking and smoking pot and doing other drugs at the age of 12 in the homes of friends on her way to school. And then things just got crazier as she got more famous. Now, there's been a couple of peak usages, I guess, in her drug life. And one of them was when she broke up with Johnny Depp. So that was about 1996-ish. And, you know, he started dating her really, really young. Really, really young. But she was doing a ton of drugs, a ton of booze, and of course he was too. And back in 1994 is when they wrecked the $2,200 a night hotel room where Johnny Depp got arrested. And, you know, he paid the damages. It was the full reservation that he had, plus I think it was $9,000 or something like that. And Johnny said that he was tired of her party girl kind of image, and he wanted to slow down. He didn't want to slow down. He just kind of liked talking smack about her. And, you know, she said that in one sitting, she could snort 3 grams of coke, drink a bottle of vodka. And she drank vodka because a doctor had told her that that was the best liquor for preserving her looks. And she would drink so fast and so hard that her nickname was the Tank. So when she turned 21, Johnny Depp threw her a party at the Viper Room. And this was kind of another, you know, trait of the Viper Room. The party was interrupted by the cocaine overdose of Jason Donovan. And that was the time that in excess, when Michael Hutchins went through Jason's pockets to make sure he still wasn't holding any drugs before he was taken to the hospital. You know, I mean, the Viper Room, and it has a dark, dark side to it. And Kate doesn't do a lot of interviews at that point. And so I want to say her Image kind of, she was an enigma because nobody really knew anything. It's like the first time you've seen an actor or, you know, we read about them and then you finally hear their voice and you go, oh, no. Or you hear them give an interview and go, oh, you know, my image of you is spoiled. And when she would talk to Johnny Depp about it, he would say, never complain, never explain. And she said that she was uncomfortable publicizing herself as a model. And she said, I can only say over and over again, that's what I do, and let people make fun of me. So there's this crossover between Johnny Depp and he was still with Kate, and that's when he started seeing Vanessa, the mother of Lily Rose. And Vanessa became pregnant within a couple of weeks of them starting out. And Kate lost it. She went to Ibiza and saw her, I guess, side piece, Jason Lake. And, you know, it was crazy. He said that, you know, for the entire 2 weeks that she would just nonstop drink vodka and tequila. And here she is, the world's most famous model. And he doesn't think that she slept more than like 15 or 16 hours in 2 weeks. Then we get the interesting little, I talked about it in a Jude Law part, but so after Kate breaks up with Johnny Depp in the late 90s, then she starts hanging out with the Primrose Hill set, and Jude Law and his ex-wife Sadie Frost were kind of at the center of this. And this is when Sadie and Kate they did start a sexual relationship. And when Sadie told her husband that she was sleeping with Kate, he was thrilled because he started to have threesomes. And while all three were kind of together as a throuple, Sadie started to fall in love with Kate. But, you know, this was all kind of fueled by drugs and booze. And they were partying together every night and they were sleeping together. And there was just, I think that the word that was used in Callahan's book was it was soulless. And Kate was not exclusive with Jude or with Sadie. She often slept with her friends' boyfriends, which did not put her in good stead with other women in the Primrose Hill group. Actress Patty Kensit forbade Liam Gallagher from being alone with Kate after learning that Kate had had sex with him. And then Pearl Lowe, who Daisy Lowe's mom, and her boyfriend at the time, Danny Goffey of Supergrass, were also involved with Sadie and Jude. And they did, you know, the swinging kind of thing. And Jude denied this ever happened, but Pearl said, of course it did. And Sadie slept with Danny and Pearl with Jude. And then what happened was Jude fell in love with Pearl. And so the swapping had to stop. So this was, you know, if you think about something like that now, and, you know, an equivalent kind of group of an A-lister actor and a A-list model and some B-listers and some singers. And Pearl Lowe, when I say Daisy Lowe's mom, Pearl Lowe's, you know, the baby daddy of Daisy is Gavin Rossdale. So that kind of gives you some, if you weren't sure about that. And Pearl said that all of this, again, was fueled by booze and drugs. It was shortly after that Kate said, well, you know what, perhaps I should go to rehab. So that was her first rehab trip. But she really didn't get a lot out of it. And it was a London rehab clinic. And during her stay, she even set her room on fire when a candle got too close to a scarf. And after rehab, she said, all right, that was good, but I'm going to start drinking. And I'm going to start using coke again. And she said to a friend once, while ordering a drink, you know, what did I learn in rehab? A lot about alcohol. And that was, that whole trip to rehab was set apart, set up by Noel Gallagher and Meg Matthews. And that was in about November 1998. And apparently, I guess it took about 3 weeks before Kay was back on drugs when she got out. And the thing is that, okay, imagine this now with some kind of A-list model. Kate, you know, had already had this reputation of seducing the boyfriends of her friends. But now she would go to a party, stand outside the bathroom, and yell, "Anyone want a F?" And, I mean, come on. But the thing is all this, it didn't harm her career at all. At this point, straight out of rehab, she's in the top 20 richest women in all of England. You know, she gets, for every commercial, she's getting mid-six figures. She was on the cover of American Vogue. And in January 1999, because this was right after she got a rehab before she started using again, she said that in January 1999, when she walked down a catwalk, it was the first time that she walked down a catwalk sober for the first time in 10 years. You know, I mean, that's crazy. So then she starts, you know, using again, and she's just destroying her body. Much like, you know, say Selena Gomez did. And the next thing you know, Kate gets this kidney infection from all the abuse that she's doing to her body. And she decides, well, you know what, I'm not going to take my antibiotics because they mix with the drugs and the booze. And she ended up in a London hospital. They forced her to get a whole bunch of antibiotics. And that was in about March of 2000-ish, I guess. And, you know, the doctor said, oh, you know, all of this is not related to the alcohol, but it was. And I don't know, she kind of treated the hospital stay as just an inconvenience. I mean, she got her hair done and everything in the hospital. It was crazy. And then she had a new boyfriend at that time, and it was Jesse Wood, who is the son of Rolling Stone guitarist Ronnie Wood. And they had actually been planning to go to Dubai when Kate, you know, had this reaction to not taking her medication. And yeah, anyway, you know, they said, well, you know, she didn't take care of her kidney and all of that. But her manager kind of wanted her to go back to rehab after that. And, you know, the top rehab clinic said, oh, come here, you know, they kind of fought for her services in a way. And this was a couple of days after she had been discharged from getting, you know, from the kidney infection. And she started drinking again. And right there in front of everybody, she started doing lines of coke in front of everybody. And the rehab people said, if she has started drinking, we would request her to return to see a consultant. And that was from the rehab place that she had been. And they said, you know, Kate came here for the detox program, and she recently completed a year of counseling on a weekly basis. But the thing is that not so much, because she was still, you know, using. And it was crazy. So then she said that she did drugs and she did drinking because she started to find modeling boring. She said it was the only way that she could cope with the job. So what did she do? She retired from modeling. And most people don't know that because it didn't last very long. But she called her agency, the same one that had found her in the line at the airport, and said, I'm quitting. I didn't want to say, you know, I'm a model ever again. She said that she was tired of flying from London to New York City. And I quit because I thought I hate it. It's mind-numbing. It's repeating yourself like Groundhog Day. But after a couple months, she was back. Because, you know, she needed that money to finance her lifestyle. And she missed, you know, the attention and the focus always being on her. So then you get to 2001, and Kate again, because, you know, she is messed up. She had to be airlifted to a hospital, and this was in September 2001. And she was in a crash and had sent her car actually somersaulting into a ditch. She was on her way to a photo shoot, and she had to, they got her from the back seat of the Range Rover, and she got lucky because it had rolled over and landed the right way up. She had a fractured shoulder and things like that, and she had a driver. But apparently she had been interfering with the driver because she was so messed up, and the driver had neck injuries. And then this other car that was with the collision, it was an elderly couple, and they actually landed upside down. But because they weren't KMOS, they didn't get airlifted. They were just taken to the hospital by an ordinary ambulance. So one of the 80-year-olds, he was okay. Pretty much, and the wife was more seriously injured. Something that she would probably not be able to do here, but she was able to do there, was she won a case against the Daily Mail back in May of 2001, because they had written in 1999 that she had turned up for a photo shoot incapacitated with drugs or alcohol. She probably did. And she showed up to a lot of shoots messed up. And we already know from her own account that she would go to shoots and have a flask. It's just the libel laws in England are so, so strict. But the part of the problem that the Daily Mail had was that they had identified a specific shoot. And Kate didn't go to that shoot. They should have kept it more general, and they would have been fine. And, you know, so she got some money from that. If they had kept it general, then she couldn't have done anything. Now, when her daughter was christened, there, of course, you needed to celebrate. And in 2002. And so there was this three-day party. 3 days, three nights. It cost about $40,000. And she was renting a cottage with the father of the baby, Jefferson Hack, and there was guards, security rolling, you know, just everywhere. And the place was 300 years old, this cottage, and the owner was not happy about the number of people or what they did. He said there was a lot of noise, a lot of mess, a lot of people. There was about 100 coming in and out of the house. The septic tank overflowed, and they left trash everywhere. Marianne Faithful was seen walking around with a gin bottle, weaving through the village. And by the time the daughter, who was 9 months old, was driven to the church for the christening, none of the guests were prepared for it at all. They were all hungover. It was the most miserable christening of all time. And then I guess they got a second wind after the christening, because after the service, they partied till about 5 o'clock in the morning. Then they partied again the next day after some rest. People got so drunk that they were wandering around town. They were running around town naked, screaming incoherently. In the cottage, chandeliers were pulled down from the ceiling. They broke all of the mirrors. The bedrooms were destroyed. I mean, let's just think about that, but then think about a nine-month-old, right? A nine-month-old in the same house. Now, I'm hoping that they decided, well, maybe she shouldn't be here. Maybe they just brought her in for the christening. And it was just an excuse for a party. And, you know, she continued to party and party and party. When she had her 30th birthday, oh my gosh. Okay, so she did this themed party, Beautiful and the Damned, based on that F. Scott Fitzgerald book. And apparently it was so over the top, so even more crazy than the christening, that Gwyneth Paltrow fled the party because she said that she was scared of what was going on in there. One of the things that was going on was there was an orgy going on in one of the main rooms, and Kate would go in and out every 30 or 40 minutes to have sex with a guy, and then she would walk back out, and she'd be out for about an hour or 30 or 40 minutes, and then she'd go back in and have sex with a different guy. Then she went into a different room and had sex with Naomi Campbell. And so you've got all this going on with all the coke and the booze, and Gwyneth Paltrow's there. I mean, oh my goodness. And then the after party. So you have an after party of your birthday party. That seems even more over the top. And they had it in a suite in Claridge's, which is this really hoity-toity kind of hotel. And so there was champagne, there were cigarettes everywhere. They were put out all over the furniture and the floor. And then in the main bedroom was another orgy. I mean, it all started normal. You know, it had a lunch at Hyde Park, Mandarin Oriental, for the inner circle of Moss's Posse. Sadie Frost was there, Stella McCartney, a few other girlfriends. You know, a long, leisurely lunch, a lot of champagne. And then they went to Kate's suite at Claire just to get ready for the main event. Oh my goodness. It was crazy. And she had other rooms there, and that's one of the rooms where she took Naomi Campbell. And then her, you know, the baby daddy Jefferson, he was worried about everything that was going on. And I think that he thought that somehow he would end up in jail or something like that. And he wanted to make sure that the party was going to, you know, following Kate's wishes. And then everybody knows he was, where's Kate? Where's Kate? And, you know, remember what I told you before. So she's having sex, you know, in this orgy. She's having sex with Naomi Campbell. And meanwhile, her supposed boyfriend is, you know, running around looking for her. Anyway, she didn't really mingle with the people who weren't having sex, didn't really pay them any attention at all. And she was kind of conspicuous by her absence. And Kate just didn't want to mingle. She just wanted to have sex, do some drugs, have some more sex. And, you know, and all these people, there was all these presents and everything. She didn't care. All she wanted was the drugs and the sex. And it was, I don't know, I just kind of crazy. Then you had, you know, there was like Sam Taylor Wood was there. She's the director who's married to somebody much, much younger. And, you know, there was this kind of group of people like the Gwyneth Paltrows and stuff who were doing the normal kind of things that you would do. But then, and there was supposedly all this ridiculous kind of dancing and everything where some of the models would leap onto the floor and then they would roll over and then spring back up because they were trying to impersonate tigers. It was ridiculous. They were all wasted. The most popular kind of parts of this house, this suite, were the toilets. And there was at least a 30-minute wait to get inside the bathrooms. And everybody would go in there in groups of two or more and then come out and they would be giggling. And it was not to do coke because everybody was doing coke openly. It was to go into the bathroom to have sex if they didn't want to go upstairs and join the orgy. And then, you know, so you've got Gwyneth Paltrow there and you have Chris Martin, you know, and they had just got married. And he's probably thinking, well, I'd like to go upstairs. But instead, all they did was they would... they sipped some fruit juice because, you know, it's Gwyneth. And then Gwyneth did have a little food. She had two, and some people say that she had three grapes. And one of the things was, you know, you don't expect Gwyneth to party at the time. I mean, she was pregnant. But everybody, you know, knew where this was going on, and you had to kind of go through the paparazzi when you left. And it just, the room where the orgy was going on, the door to the room was mirrored. And every few minutes, you know, somebody would come out to get some air. And then you would see all of these naked bodies on the bed. And there was one point where this woman comes out of the room and asks if there's any condoms around the place, because apparently they had run out of the 30 or 40 that were in the room. Oh, one of the people, and it's a blind item that I haven't really dug into. that I don't remember what newspaper wrote it, but there it said, indeed, most startling of all, one of the most eager participants of these fevered goings-on is a woman who is a household name in Britain. She is having sex with a man who is neither husband nor regular partner. She had taken her clothes off and was being quite shameless about it, said the stunned onlooker. They were having sex on the bed and all around them were other people engaged in sexual activity. When she has taken of her pleasure, she comes back into the living room and carries on chatting to other guests as though nothing out of the ordinary has happened. And the thing is that, you know, nobody seems to be batting an eyelid. They're being very British about the whole thing. And then Ronnie Wood, he went into the orgy, of course. So, yeah. This was quite the party. And, I mean, the 30th birthday, just try to imagine something like that being talked about now. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. What, 2004? But, you know, it's just shock. And to have it in such detail and have so many celebrities there. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow was at an orgy while she was pregnant with her husband. And yes, they fled, but they fled after an hour. And you have somebody really extremely famous in Britain who's married and has a boyfriend but is in there having sex. And you have Ronnie Wood and you have Kate Moss having sex. You have Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell having sex. This is quite the party. And, you know, Kate is not going to stop the partying. And in part two, I will talk all about that. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.